Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have with me Kim Blacklock. Hi, Kim.
Hi, and I'm trying to like find a little button here. I'm trying to get hair out of my mouth for some reason. And then, yes, I've got it. This meeting is being recorded. Thank you very much. Okay, now I can.
Here she is, Kim.
Kate Wolf, as I live and breathe.
Well, Kim, you are a comedian. You're also a teacher and an artist, which I just found out.
Correct.
How long ago did you start comedy?
Probably when I was 2 years old and clambered up on the stage when my brother was doing the Christmas pageant and wouldn't get off.
Really?
And then, you know, and then people thought I was so cute. They all started clapping and I was like, oh yeah, this is great up here.
You were addicted already.
Yeah. You know, where else can you do nothing and just stand there and get applause because, you know, you're a cute kid in a little dress with some lace showing, whatever. Aww. Other than that, in Southwest Philly, when my dad was in divinity school, it was pretty ruggedy. And one of the ways to stay out of fights was to just zing him with one-liners, because then I could turn the crowd against the bullies.
Right.
Because in the playground, everybody, so I was at Longstreth Elementary in Southwest Philly, which is along Cobbs Creek, 65 to 68, when, you know, we had just lost Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Dr. King, JFK, Bobby, Democratic National Convention. I know I'm talking dinosaur stuff here, but 1,100 cities across the United States were rebelling, and they couldn't do anything about it. I was eight to 10, trying to get back and forth to school, you know, and the kids would gang up in the playgrounds. So I couldn't fight them all, but I could certainly outwit them.
Yes.
And then, you know, as the kids gathered, we're like, fight, fight, fight. I'd start zinging the one-liners, and then the crowd would turn. And the bullies couldn't touch me, because then they looked like idiots. But I had to learn how to run quickly.
You're really talking about the power of comedy and the power of words, because it is a type of superpower. And you were able to get out of physically being hurt through being funny. And
once in a while.
Sometimes.
Did it always work?
Man.
But, you know, luckily I have a Samoan father, so he taught us self-defense because, you know, I was found in a bloody puddle. And after that, I was eight. And after that, Dad... Army, he was World War II in Korea, so he taught us self-defense so that that didn't happen again.
Yeah, but now, because you're very tall, you actually won Miss Tall NYC comedy tour, right? Because you took it
well,
on a tour.
I am the reigning Miss Tall New York City, because they haven't had another pageant since COVID. So I'm like, I need a new sash. So if anybody knows where I can get a new sash made. But yeah, and then I'm also the world's tallest female comedian. And I'm on those lists of like the world's tallest, you know, actors or actresses. I'm like, whatever happened to actress?
Right.
I mean, like,
actor. How tall are you?
We're not allowed to say that because
then
well, I make people guess, because then when I'm on stage, I do a 50-50. They have to guess, and whoever comes closest gets half the money, and I get the other half for putting up with this shit all these years. How tall are you? Way taller than you, okay?
Now, if you stood next to my husband, he's 6'6", so I would be able to guess if you were next to him, but I've only been with you in person one magical time.
That was so magic. We need to do that pilot. We need to do it.
Yes, we were shooting a very special thing that unfortunately hasn't sold yet.
Apocalyptic. Are we allowed to talk about it?
Sure. Yeah, it's apocalyptic. And it's about the apocalypse, but we have a really comedic take and we have all these different characters. I won't give it away. The trailer's still up on my YouTube channel if anyone wants to see.
I've got it somewhere, I think. I don't know where I'm so out of it with all this social stuff, but yeah,
and
it was a brilliant
Katori. You were the badass leader of like the Appalachian Mountain Gang.
That was a blast. You know, that was pretty wild during COVID too, wasn't it?
It was like, yes, as COVID was kind of ending, because we waited, we had to put it on hold. And then as soon as things started moving a little bit, we shot it, but it was towards the end of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. It was brilliant. Well, you know how tall I am because I had my boots on, I'm sure, for that shoot, didn't
You had the best outfit on. You came in, your makeup, you had the cat eye.
Yeah.
You slayed. I mean, I really hope we get to do that one.
Well, I was her. I was like, yeah, I'll be the leader of the group that survives the apocalypse. Yeah, let's go. You go. And yeah,
You were
I'm
our
ready.
rival group. You were our you
I think there were
and my group
four
wasn't
groups
well
that
equipped.
survived, right? There were four groups that survived or something.
We had the deadly Amish.
Yeah.
And then we had your group, the Appalachian Mountain, like you guys were the strongest,
Yeah,
scariest
and
group.
then there was some pack of kids running around wrecking havoc.
Yes, we had a deadly pack of kids in it, and then it was our group, and our group was not very scary, but we were learning. We were gonna get there. My character was having blackout rages, so she could be deadly, but it was like in a blackout kind of thing. So yeah, I hope. And Mark, our friend Mark, got to play the
He was
hilarious
great. Yeah,
pizza
Mark
shop owner.
Riccadonna.
Yes. Yeah. So he connected us. He's great.
Yeah.
And I want to say you're Native American, and I
No.
love that.
Well, I'm actually Samoan. My father is Samoan and my mother is Welsh and French.
Okay.
So, I do have Native American children. I adopted three Cheyenne siblings and then my own son is Kikotan, which is the originals of Virginia. So I
Okay.
tell him, "Virginia is yours."
I do
Powhatan.
feel.
Powhatan was actually Kikotan. He was the chief that united all those tribes against the English. And one of the reasons why it took the English 10,000 settlers before they could get 200 to survive in Jamestown. But anyway.
I can still feel the unrest of what we built these buildings on. You know, it was taken from natives, and yeah, I can still feel. I think anyone who's really in tune with Mother Earth and other people can feel the unrest in the soil. Do you feel that often?
So we know that this land is soaked in the blood of innocents. You know, unfortunately, when people are talking about what's happening today, I'm like, it's nothing new. This is the modus operandi. This is okay. We got great words for it. Neocolonialism, settler colonialism. There's no value for life. So, you know, those of us that are on the other side of that coin, we're the ones that then are all about love and life. And that's where comedy and art and teaching comes in, because if we don't teach the past, you know, who is it? Somebody said you're bound to repeat the mistakes.
It's true.
So we're supposed to learn from them. But anyway, that's the teacher coming through, and
I love it.
I'm still on my first cup of coffee for the day.
We've got the English teacher and the art teacher. And I think it's very important, like you said, to teach the past because we're trying to heal the generational trauma that's been going on for thousands plus more.
Goosebumps on
Yeah,
the
it's like,
Lion's Gate portal day 8/8, baby.
yes. And then 2024 adds up to eight. So we're in an 888. So it happens every year and it's always powerful, but with that extra eight on the end, yeah, and here we are getting to podcast and I'm excited about it.
I know, for our first time, and you know, for the first time since Apocalyptic, and that was just you so brought it as that character. Sorry to hop back to it, but you know, people want to know what it's like to act. It's like, well, you prepare and then you bring it
Yeah.
because you know, camera's on, and I don't know how we turn it on, but you know, probably as we got ourselves out of scrapes as we were kids, you know, yeah, bring it, you know.
Yeah, expression is such a healthy way to cope here on Earth. When I try to push that down, I physically get unhealthy when I'm not exercising that part of me. So I know how crucial it is, and yet our country is founded on rape and pillaging, you know? So like you said, it's nothing new, but we're definitely at an interesting point with the world. Like, did you hear about the whole Bangladesh thing?
No, but I just want to pause for a second because when we're talking about history, I want us to go back further than the classic era, further than the Romans, further than the Greeks, because the patriarchy always stops there. It's like ixnay on the stopping there, eh? Go back 100,000 years into the Neolithic period, because behold, behind me, I have collections of the oldest writings that I could find by women. And some of the stuff we know is cuneiform, and I don't even have access to that. But we had 100,000 years of Neolithic where it was matrifocal, and women were valued because they know that life came from between our legs, and that anything that came out of the guy's orifices, they usually spit it away, or dug a hole and buried it. But there was a different way of being, and we have the women that study the archaeology, Christina Biaggi, Monica Shu. We have these women that did all this research to show us there's another way to be. When they go, oh, that's just humans, that's boys being boys. No, it's not. That's the patriarchy, about 5,600 years old. So if you take the zeros away, even if you want to just estimate low, say 70,000 years, but we know it's 100,000. We'll say 70,000 versus 5,000. We'll round for the patriarchy. Get rid of the zeros. And I say, would you rather follow a 70-year-old woman or a 5-year-old boy? Because here we are at the brink of extinction. But that's their Maya. So the flip side of it is, what are we creating? Because we don't have to get spun into the eddy of their cosmology just because their Judeo-Christian stuff says apocalypse. It's like, no, that's your cosmology. That's your belief in how things go. But that's not the native belief. That's not the indigenous belief. We don't have an apocalypse. We have earth and sun and wind and sky and dirt and, sooner or later we go back to dirt and trees and sun and wind and sky and, it's a whole different way of feeling about things.
Yeah, it's interesting. What I liked about the Bangladesh thing is the people
So tell me
overthrew.
what happened. What's
So
Bangladesh?
there were peaceful protests going on, and the woman, the female prime minister, who I guess years
Recently.
ago, very recently this happened, but years ago, I guess she'd been in power, I think about 25 years, maybe off and on a little bit, but she started off pretty diplomatic and she had gotten very authoritarian, dictatorship-ish. And people were starting to have peaceful protests, and I think about 300 people total, peaceful protesters were killed, and they rioted and took, they stormed her residence, and she went to India. And they, for now, the people have won. And for me, I like to see victories like that. It's way too easy for things to become dictatorships. And
And that's about teaching, isn't it? Because if we see what leads up to it, and one of the things that the dictators always forget is the it sounds redundant or cliche, but the power of the people. So I liken it to we're the ants, we're the anthill. Good luck stepping on the anthill. What happens to you? We're the beehive. Good luck. Go ahead. Take a stick to that beehive, you dumbass. What's gonna happen. And they do it over and over and over because they have the same modus operandi in the patriarchy. It's power over, it's control. It's like, okay, really? You're still doing this? Even though you got us to that brink of extinction? Well, excuse me, but I think the definition of an addiction is when it's doing harm to yourself and to others. Really? You got us on the edge of the sixth extinction event. That's not of harm to yourself and others. So I just came from AMA, the totally switch gears. Do you know about Mata Amritananda
I
Mayi?
don't think so.
She's a Mahatma. And I tell everyone, Mahatma Gandhi, that was not his first name, it's a title. Like Jesus Christ, Christ wasn't his last name. Christ was the title, the Christ Jesus, right? So the Mahatma Gandhi. Well, it's the Mahatma Amritananda Mayi. She's doing her first world tour since COVID in 5 years. And she's just amazing in terms of how she's activating everybody's spirit and, just incredible. Last night I was in New York with maybe 4,000 people and her leading the meditation. And it's like, what? Where are we? So trying to learn. I am new student. How to detach from all this Maya stuff, because otherwise it could eat us up. And one of the things we know is that when they keep telling us, the bad news, oh, death and mayhem. Well, it keeps the adrenals going, and the adrenals aren't supposed to be kept going, and it runs down our immune systems. And no, you need your adrenals because
I do
when
think
I.
there will be death and mayhem. I think. I'm not sure. I just feel like as these corrupt systems that are no longer working start to fall apart, I wonder about how much death there will or won't be. I don't wish for a lot of it, but I just never know because I feel like certain things are collapsing because they have to. And people are not happy for the most part. A lot of people. The anthill, the worker bees of this earth, we're getting disgruntled. It's hard for me to see any celebrity these days and be really like, whoo, good for them. I want to be them. Because I'm like, there's so much pain in the collective and not a lot of leaders really speaking up and really trying to change the way things are done here. And I just, I don't look at any of them these days.
Well,
And
there's the key right there when you said I don't look at any of them, because guess what? I got rid of TV a long time ago
oh,
because
did you? I watch TV.
when you do the research to find out who owns the stations, the same people own CNN as own MSNBC as own Disney as own Verizon. So since they own them all, then they're just, and they pretend like they're in competition and they're just spitting out the same stuff. And it's like, oh, and it's their narrative. So when you turn that off, then you can find other people that are building community. Then you can find the other news of what is happening on the ground level that isn't making it to the news because there's a lot going on. A lot of women have gotten elected. A lot of stuff is happening on the local level in terms of farming and in New York State. The biggest demographic, growing demographic of new farmers is women,
That's
single women
awesome.
farmers. So, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in terms of building communities. There's a thing called Cabin Dot City. They're having supper clubs, people getting together to find out what do you want to do. And then they're forming communities all over the world. So there's a lot going on. We just need to tune into the right frequencies because the other one keeps us ill. You need your adrenals for when the lion is chasing you down the savannah. You have to feckin' run, right? You need your adrenals, right? But you don't need them every day. 'Cause it's Maya. They do it to make us feel what? What is, we already know. Now we have the Surgeon General saying, and as a teacher, I'm like, yes. The Surgeon General of the US is saying no screen time before you're 10 because of developing brains, right? No social media before high school and no phones before middle school. Yes! Because the brain's developing. You don't need that kind of electromagnetism near them. And, so things are shifting and they can't stop it. And here we have the Lion's Gate. So we get to, feel. What could be, I guess.
Yeah, and get back to community. I'm not as against. I definitely let my son watch Baby Einstein growing up. Do I think it was the best way? No, I was in survival mode myself. So I think,
The
you got to be where you're at.
single
Yeah.
moms,
However, I
but
do
we
think,
choose.
yeah, I think when we go towards community and getting back to nature, it doesn't mean we can't enjoy our technology and homes that don't flood, et cetera. But I think as we realize that we need each other, because otherwise life is too hard and too lonely. Yeah, I think when our mind sh shifts to that mentality, because right now we're still in dog eat dog world for the most part, not
Some
everywhere.
are, some are. Because, when you look at the indigenous populations, they've always been caring for themselves. When I traveled in Brazil, the women that were in the favelas. The government doesn't do anything for the people of Brazil, so the women built their adobe childcare centers and healthcare centers and elder centers. And so, all over the world, there's a lot of people that are doing the community, including in the United States, and realizing, oh, okay, I don't know about all over the world realizing this, but Frank Zappa said it. He said, politics is the entertainment wing of the military industrial complex. And then when you look at, all you gotta do is Google it now. Anybody can find this information, right? When you
Right.
look at who owns the military, and then who owns the media, they're the same people. Oh, and then you look at the senators, you can follow it. It's like follow the bouncing ball. But why bother? How much time do we want to spend doing a whack-a-mole?
Right. And
So
capitalism has really, it's
it's
gotten
not
so extreme.
sustainable. It's.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm a socialist or whatever people get scared of, but I don't like the gap. You've got the really rich people, the monopolies that, like you're saying, own everything. Our food industry
One
is
percent,
sickening.
one percent
We're
owns
eating
90.
poison.
Yeah, 1% owns 97%. But those are all like. People could find out that information and it's out there, and I'm not making light of it at all. But in terms of what are we building, what are we going towards? There's
Right.
sustainable agriculture stuff going on. There's people like you, there's people like me. There's, in terms of just showing the light, being the funny. Before World War II, there were 276 cabarets in Berlin. So obviously, there's a value to funny and just okay, let's just kind of leave that over there and we're going to come over here. And not that we're ignoring it, no, but what are we creating? So, in terms of being a survivor myself of sexual and physical assault, I started doing art because I wanted to find the girl in me that was me before anything happened to me. And people go, you? How can that happen? You're the 10th tallest woman on the planet. It's like, yeah, but I used to be a little girl.
Right.
And in
And
the patriarchy, the Greeks and the Romans, they all say, oh, no, it's okay to rape. No, it's okay to beat. Because, yeah, because remember that story about Persephone? And, yeah, well, she was made from those two gods who were brother and sister, who was the brother and sister of the guy that decided to grab her and take her to the netherworld. Really? So there's stories, and the academics are out there on it saying that these stories of this rape and pillage and plunder was to give the common man, no, you're allowed to do that, because look, the gods do it.
yeah, the true story of Medusa is a woman who got sexually assaulted, went to tell, she went for help, and instead got punished and turned into a monster because she was not supposed to, she was supposed to stay a virgin, but she got raped. So yes, if you
Right.
really look to it, it's showing that rape is okay, but it's
Yeah.
not. And that's
Our
what's
gods do
offered.
it, and incest is okay, the gods do it, and yeah, you're
Right.
okay, you own it. But
The belief systems are sick.
I've been writing, and we'll be launching soon, Growing Up Amazon in America, to talk about, these are my stories of what it's been like surviving, the patriarchy in America and holding it down as, a warrior woman. And I told my son a long time ago, Amazon is about attitude. It's not just about size. Amazon is attitude. And then a friend of mine was like, oh, should we sue Jeff Bezos for taking your name? But, I'd like to hear other women's stories too. The same way that Eve Ensler did the vagina monologues, where she didn't just talk about her journey, she, interviewed other women. Well, then basically every woman alive.
Well, the Hauktua girl, have you heard about her? She got famous for a quick interview where she basically made a statement where you got a Hauktua on a man's dick. And she gets famous because so many men loved the way she said it, but it felt very much in that patriarchal vein. It wasn't a very feminist vibe, but that's what is still lingering big time. I mean, one of our presidential candidates is a known rapist.
Rapist. Yeah.
And a lot of people love him, you know?
Yeah.
I
Well,
don't. I'm
no,
going
but
Kamala.
yeah, but I think, that's part of the whole Maya thing, because if you look at statistics, I used to teach statistics at the Columbia Scholastic Press Association conferences. This is where it really helps to be a nerd. I taught a course called Digging Up Dirt. You gotta love it, called Research, Primary Sources. These are things that we teach in school. You're not allowed to plagiarize. So how is it that when you get into the outside world, the lie rules, marketing and PR? It's like, well, excuse me? Anyway, I digress. Statistically, women and our single women head of households with their children under the age of 18, if you take all the women, plus, you include us women, single women, head of households with our children under 18. We're 76% of the population. So the rest of this stuff is just a bull doo doo Maya, because the press was all going, oh, Iran's gonna go right. Oh, France is gonna go right. Oh, it's so scary. Oh, Great Britain's gonna go right, as they flap their bullshit. And no, they all went left. Because they're just saying their own narratives and people believe them. It's like, no, stop. And they're doing the same thing here. There was a woman who told me, and I have to corroborate it, but it seems to make sense to me. There's more registered women Democratic voters, as in Democratic Party, than there are male registered Republican voters. Do the math. The rest of it's Maya. They're
I
just
know,
pumping
and
us all up. When they said, oh, he won the primaries, only 2% of the GOP voted in the primaries. What are they talking about? Look, can you look at the numbers? It's
he's been
just
saying some really scary stuff
well,
lately.
he's always been saying really
He's
scary
always been
stuff.
saying it, that's true. But he's
Right.
reiterating, he said, to his Christian voters, get out and vote. This will be the last time you have to vote because he's going to rig it.
I know,
He's openly saying he's going to become a dictator and we
I know.
won't
Right.
have to vote again, which voting is beautiful. It gives us a say. So he keeps saying a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah. And it's just part of the Maya, because if you do the numbers, and I live in GOP County here, and some guy in the deli wanted to get into it with me, and I just was like, no, I'm not getting into this with you, buddy. No. Oh yeah, oh everybody, he's not a rapist. I'm like, really? 26 women were wrong, really? And 64 different cases that said no, there wasn't any voter fraud. Those 64 were all wrong. And the 34 counties that they were wrong, and everybody's wrong. Well, we've seen the bully in the classroom, haven't we?
Yeah.
Everybody else is to blame, not them. They didn't do anything. It's not their fault. No, they're all wrong, really? All 64 of those courts are wrong. Okay. And whatever. But again, it just winds up being Maya, because when you look behind the screen of who's pushing it, it's all big oil. Everybody's being distracted by this oil, this redheaded guy, and
Because we need to be
this,
shifting
right, and the shooting
into
that wasn't
other waves of
real.
energy, free energy,
Yeah,
but
and we need to be concentrating on how we're shifting. Where are we going to? Because that's a losing battle.
I
So
know.
why breathe life into it? Because it's on its way out. The fall of the Roman Empire was probably not pretty. So we happen to be in those times. Okay, what are we creating? So rather than stand on a soapbox and sound like a lunatic, I'm gonna go take my show on the road. I'll live in a van for a while and talk to other women about growing up Amazon in America.
Wait, so what's the name of your tour?
Growing up Amazon in America.
Well,
I
I love it.
actually the other tour I named, I called it, was Miss Tall New York City's tour. Barbie is my sister.
Okay.
Because that is my sister's name, Barbie. And
Oh,
I'm not,
really?
yeah, and I'm not Barbie. And we could play off all the Barbie. I have yet to see the tall Barbie, but I do have a collection of black Barbies. Because over the years, you're in the grocery store, $7.99 for black Barbie. You're coming home with me. So I'm totally stoked that now there's black Barbie on Netflix. I'm like, I got her. Look, all around. 15 of her.
There
So.
definitely been positive shifts, You've been around longer, so you've seen more of the shifts, but
Take
being
it easy
born
on the longer bit, shithead.
being born in the
I
80s,
know you're young.
I still got to see a lot of changes,
Being
and
a mere zygote.
I've seen through my life things get more representative. Like if you look at cartoons, even Lord of the Rings, when they brought back Rings of Power as a TV show, they're including way more cultures, way more races. You know, Barbie's starting to get, a bit
Yeah.
better. The
I'm
Barbie
still waiting to
movie.
kick that pinhead's butt. You know, that woman that's on, well, what is it, Queen of Thrones or Game of Thrones? I'm sorry. But she's supposedly 6'3". What is her name?
Oh, Brienne of Tarth. I don't know
No,
her real name.
the white woman from England. Anyway, I'm like, come on.
Wait, you don't mean Khaleesi, Queen, because she was short.
No. There was a captain. There was somebody who was like
No, it's
a.
Brienne of Tarth. She was very tall. She's beautiful, but I forget her.
No, there was another Christie. Was it Game of Thrones?
There's
Anyway,
an actress. Now you're gonna have me look it
I
up.
look at these women and I'm like, okay, you're little.
Well, you're not even telling me how tall you are. But that's
That's
because it's
true.
for your
That's
show.
true. But
That's
it's
because it's
all
for
on
your show.
IMDb anyway, you know, and it's all over the place.
I looked at, okay, played by. Let's Gwendoline Christie.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, we only get one tall girl in a decade, right? Because, you know, or, you know, you get one fat girl in a decade, right? Because for a while, the woman that played Precious, she was our fat girl. Or, oh, now it's replaced by the woman that's on that TV series of, you know, I can't remember the name of it. So you get one at a time. And it used to be Melissa McCarthy, and then she got thinner. So she's out as a fat girl. But where's the big girl? Oh, Queen Latifah. She's 6 foot. I was 6 foot at 12.
Really?
You know,
So,
I
what was it
remember.
like? Not to ruin what you take on tour, I'm not
Oh, no,
asking
it's
you to ruin that, but
good enough.
what was it like growing up? Because I know, I'm Kate Wolf and I'm Wolfie because I have some hair, okay? And I remember growing up just being hairier than most. I was very self-conscious. Now I don't give a shit, but I know that when you're not the norm, you get picked on. It's just the culture here. But hopefully things will be getting celebrated instead of bullied. But what was it like growing up being taller and having warrior woman attitude and energy?
It really helped having the Samoan father because, you know, he taught us limits of what we could do physically to people. You know, I always tell people, do you know what the Samoan War Club is? I'm like, oh no, it's your own arm.
Oh, so you've had to beat people up.
Well, when you're little, it's self-defense because
Of
you're not allowed
course.
to initiate, you know, and I think that all gym classes should contain self-defense for girls, since we already know that domestic violence is epidemic, really. Well, where's your self-defense in your gym classes, if that's what you know? Anyway, but growing up, I was trying to figure out why was it so weird? Why were the guys so strange? And then I Googled it, and it turns out that barefoot, I'm taller than 98.5% of the men in the United States. The average height for men is 5'9". The average height for women is 5'6". So that means that 98.5% of them, you know, are shorter than me. So they re responded to me with their reptilian brains, which is the fight or flight. And, you know, I was 6 foot by 12. My mother tells a story about, she was probably one of the original comedians. She said, oh, you know, we knew what the kids were going to be by the time they were two. We just doubled the height, and that's how tall they would be as adults. She goes, and for Kimmy, I started crying about her at one. I'm like, Mom, what the shit? Really? That's. And then she tells a story about being in the, we were in Albany, New York, when Dad was using his GI Bill to go get his bachelor's in history. And he was a verger at the cathedral, and right down the block from the Cathedral of All Saints was a nice park. And so Mom would take us there, and the ladies came over to Mom. And she was Nelson Rockefeller's social secretary, which meant a lot of envelopes and addressing envelopes. So the ladies come up to my mother and go, Joni, why can't Kimmy play nicely like all the other 6-year-olds? And my mother said, because she's two. You know, she's two.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
You know, so always larger than the other kids, which make it, you know, when you're little, makes it a little hard as a toddler to hug somebody and tackle them at the same time because, you know, the 2-year-old doesn't really have the muscle control of a 6-year-old. And then I skipped a bunch of grades. Kindergarten, I think I was there maybe a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you able to keep up with the older kids?
Yeah. But in kindergarten, it was because I went to St. Agnes School for Girls in Loudonville, New York, which is near Albany. And we got to go. I got to go for free because Dad was a verger of the cathedral. And I was a head shorter than my kindergarten teacher. So she couldn't deal. And then Bobby went and knocked over at Melissa's castle. And she was the orphan in the classroom. And we all knew the orphans that came because they only got their clean uniforms on Monday. And they had to wear the same uniforms all week. And their uniforms were never ironed because, you know, our mothers ironed our uniforms. But anyway, Bobby goes and knocks over Melissa's block castle. So I go and knock over Bobby's block castle. And Bobby slugs me. And the kindergarten teacher only saw me slugging Bobby. She didn't see any of the other lead up. And she said I was too aggressive for my age group and put me in first grade. Growing up Amazon in America. At first grade, I lasted, I think, a month there. And I said to the nun, I was like, I don't really understand why I'm here because I can already spell ocean.
Really?
You know, I was, why am I here? You know, so they're like, all right, second grade for you. And then my mother said, stop. because then I would have been, if they skipped me one more, I would have been where my older brother was. And she was like, stop. And in hindsight, you know, there's a lot of difference between a four-year-old in a second grade classroom and a four-year-old in a first grade classroom. There's a lot of differential in, right. in child development. And my mother didn't know it. And I made the same oops with my son because, you know, he was so far ahead of everybody. I did the same thing.
Well,
put him in early to kindergarten and no, you know, might have, but whatever. Those are, you know.
How was dating growing up?
What?
No. Did you date?
No.
No.
No. I had a Samoan father who was an Episcopal priest and a truck driver in town, you know, and so no. And I didn't realize why there was no dating until my 40th birthday party. And I was at the gas station getting my ice and, you know, last minute stuff. And I saw some truckers come through and I was like, yeah, my dad's 18-wheeler trucker. Yeah, the preacher man. And they were like, your father's the preacher man? Because those are their CB handles. And your father's the preacher man? I'm like, yeah, you know him. Yeah, everybody knows the preacher man. And then they turned to me and they said, you probably didn't have very many dates growing up, did you? I was like, no, I didn't. How'd you know? No, I didn't. How'd you know? Who's going to come to your door when that man's standing behind it?
So can you tell me a little bit about Samoan culture? I don't know much.
Either do I. Welcome to the club because I was born in Poughkeepsie. So the Samoan culture that I got was my grandfather lived with us until I was five.
Okay.
And his sister did come to visit us. She took a freighter, took her 6 weeks from Australia. She arrived a few days before I was born with two suitcases going, these are for the baby girl.
Aww.
And my mother was like, oh, I just had the boy. Well, she's like hugely pregnant with me. And I was born a few days later. What I got from my grandfather were the stories, the pantheon of the different goddesses, the goddess of the ocean, Mau, Tane, god of the skies, Uriuri, queen of the universe, Po, the land that we come from before we are born, the land we go back to. Samoans believe that we're from stars, much like many Native Americans trace themselves back to being star people. And now that we have science, it corroborates all the oral traditions of the Tsitsitas, for instance, believe that, who are the Cheyenne, believe that the ancestors are in the rocks. And I remember when my son was in school, he always identified as Native American. His grandmother lived with us, the Cherokee woman. And he said, Ma, you know, the kids are asking me, are you Jewish? Are you Christian? What are you? He goes, how do I tell them that grandfathers live in the rocks? I said, you don't. You know, don't bother. It's that aww. Cast not thy pearls before swine. How are you going to, you know, explain that? But it turns out science tells us that the reason why Earth is here is because, yeah, oxygen molecules were in the rocks that hit the Earth, and here comes oxygen in the rocks, and voila, hydrogen plus oxygen equals water equals we have Earth. So, you know, there's a lot in that spirit world and in what we know from the oral tradition. The first Samoan woman published was 1996. You know, there's a lot of, there's thousands and thousands of years of oral history. And it forms a better brain, BTW, because you're using more of the frontal cortex to store the stuff and to remember the stuff. And,
I love prophecies and folklore. I think there is a lot of truth woven within them. And I kind of wish when you did ancestry.com that you could find what star seed you are. I believe in all of that, you know. It's like,
well, you could do that maybe with the Ayurvedic astrologies. They'll tell you what birth star you are.
I right? kind of already know what enlightened aliens, I don't want to say kind of, I already know what enlightened aliens I connect to and communicate with. But I think it would be cool if you could do an actual starseed blood test in the future.
You could
totally have some starseed in you. And we were saying before the podcast that, you know, there's evidence that the quote unquote tall people were around because they're different names, Some people say Anunnaki. I think there's a title like the Necropheme. There's just so many different tales, and even in
And
cave,
different continents too, right?
yes, and cave paintings and drawings that show the star people, UFOs. The stories are around for a reason, and there are more and more paranormal sightings. We were talking a little bit about Bigfoot because I'll be going on more Bigfoot excursions. And yeah, I think it's just really fun to explore how much of these stories that have been passed on are based on truth, you know?
Yep. And you find out about it by listening to the stories over and over and over. And that's how the information was passed down. So, and then we come to us being teachers, which totally interrupts stories being passed down, whether you're a white kid or a native kid.
I love being an art teacher because, I got to teach art from different cultures, like Aboriginal art. And we would talk about, folk tales and myths and dreamings, because that's what they called the stories that were passed down. And yeah, I think as an art teacher, it was cool that I got to kind of bring some of those myths into the different lessons.
Well, it's the best thing for the kids' brains too. We know that, that you got to use the right and the left hemisphere. You have to use them both, and art provides that, thinking outside the box. And
Right. Our society is way more left brain proud, like go, like if you look at schools, math, science, and English can be part of, I think English kind of sits in the middle, in my opinion, of left and right brain, because you have to really tap into your creativity, but then you got to order it in a structured way.
yeah.
But
Who
yeah, I
was it?
think.
C.C. Milne, wasn't he the guy that wrote Alice in Wonderland? Oh, did you hear that? Upside A, Wonderland. He
Carol Lewis, am I getting
Carol
that wrong?
Lewis. Yep. He
Okay.
said C.C. Milne is the teddy bear thing, Winnie the Pooh. C.C. Lewis. He said English was mathematical. It was mathematical, and that's how I used to dissect for the kids the poetry. Look at the beats mathematically. Where was the emphasis put? But English isn't even English, because the English aren't even English. They were French, right? And English was just, when Chaucer attempted it, and then Shakespeare really mastered it. England was a port city, so Shakespeare's just writing down what he heard. And when you look at the original documents of the people that came over here from Europe, they were spelling all whack. They were just doing phonetics and putting some fancy swirly cues on it, because beforehand, the nobles, it was French, Hebrew, and Latin. Everything was written in Latin, and French and Hebrew was taught into their kids. Because did you know that the European monarchs all trace themselves back to King David, and that's why they have the God-given right to rule?
I did not know that.
Yes. And I did the deep dive into ancestry.com, and I'm one of Eve's daughters.
Really?
They take you all the way back to
Do they
Eve.
do that?
It's
I
fucking
need to
all
do
the
ancestry.com.
way. Why? They're just going to take you all the way back to Eve, Adam and Eve are their
I'm
first two
down for that.
originals.
Take me back to Eve and then tell me what star seed I am, even though
Yeah,
I already
there you go.
know.
There
That's
you go.
wild. I mean, in terms of language, I sometimes enjoy speaking in tongues right from the other side. I just feel like I've been writing a book and I've been trying to be as fluid as I can. I feel like a lot of times I read books and the voice feels robotic. It doesn't feel human to me anymore. So I really wanted to write in a way that felt like a diary entry, that it has soul. I still want it to be, I want
Well,
to read it in
James
OC
Joyce with
art.
his Ulysses, he gave everybody permission to be fluid, because I'm like, could you put a period in here, James?
I'm not that
How
fluid. I'm
about a
not that
comma?
fluid.
Please. I'm like, I think I've gotten to page 11 on the thing. I'm like, oh my God, my editing brain just goes, paragraph break.
Yeah, my book would maybe give you a panic attack, but not that bad. I still
Well, let's go to
try.
graphic novel. Let's help people out like me.
I love
Just
graphic
let
novels.
because that's what I want to do with growing up Amazon in America. Not just put it on the stage, but let's go graphic novel with it.
Graphic novels are
Alternative
incredible.
copy and that kind of stuff. Because I don't know. I think people are reading. They say, oh, they're not, and the kids aren't. And I'm like, well, they still have to in school, I think. But I
See,
still
I
get
loved A
lost in
Catcher in the
books.
Rye.
Oh, it's such a hard book.
I loved it when I was a kid because everything else we were told to read had a boring vibe to it for me. And then suddenly it was like someone who was throwing some curses in there, and we're being told we're allowed to read this in a public school that felt like prison to me. It just felt like, how did this get allowed in here? So I appreciated the rawness of it. I don't really remember too much of it at this
Oh,
point,
it was
but
raw for sure.
yeah, it
And
was raw.
when you were in middle school and high school, did they teach any women? Did you ever read any women writers?
I think we did some, but I'm sure the focus was on male
Yeah,
writers.
because I realized it was all dead women. Sylvia Plath killed herself. Virginia Woolf killed herself, right? Some other woman who was, just pining away and, whatever. Edith Wharton, I guess, bad marriage or whatever. So it was like, really? So what you're telling me is that to be a woman writer means you're going to be crazy and kill yourself, stick your head in an oven, right? Or walk into an ocean and
That's what you get for expressing
Yeah, that's
yourself.
what you get for trying to find out who you are inside. Holy
Women are
shit.
supposed to keep their mouths shut. If you open it, you're going to
No.
end up drowning yourself.
And then I wound up at William Smith College, and they had the first ever women's studies department in the United States. I was like, I am done reading men. I read no more men. I was like, I'm done. Because what? There's Doris Lessing. What? There's Alice Walker. What? What? What?
The Color Purple was definitely one of
Maya
my
Angelou,
favorites
what?
growing
What
up.
else is out there? Gloria
Yeah.
Anzaldúa, Dua, what? So that's what I brought to the classroom. And I've got a lovely little letter from the department chair of the English department saying, yeah, Kim brought in diversity before even people were using the name, but that's because I wanted every kid to be able to see themselves. And at the French American school, we had 96 nationalities when I taught there. And when I came back from Europe, I taught in public schools as a substitute teacher because then I could get 10,000 kids a year. And I wanted those kids who are mixed race to see, because I'd walk in as a sub, Albany, Schenectady, Troy City Schools. Can't hide this. Can't hide this. And then, just use it for the kids to be like, can't hide you. Oh, you're black. Can't hide you. You're Asian. Oh, can't hide you. You're blind. Can't hide you. You're disabled. Can't hide you. You're yellow. You can't hide us. Oh, you're fat. Yep. Can't hide you. Can't hide me. I'm tall. So why? What are we trying to fit into? Because I wanted to know what's the world going to do with this beautiful black girl with her natural blonde fro and blue eyes. And I wanted them to know, what I know. I'm the mixed blood woman. Yeah, we're a both. Yep, we got our feet in both. But that gives us some advantages because anyone who's of white blood is a survivor of the Inquisitions. So that means that we, somewhere way back there in our DNA, because memories are stored in protein structures, we have the information of the herbalists and the alchemists and the women who were the healers. Which is why they were hunted in the first place, besides their land and title. History.
That's why I kind of love that eventually they stopped using the word melting pot in schools, and it became like they called it a salad bowl because the point was you don't have to melt into each other. You can be a collective of diverse people without having to be a melting pot. You can stay strong with boundaries as who you are, and we can coexist kindly, but you don't have to all be melted into each
Yeah.
other.
Well, that's a shift that you got that our generation didn't. We were the melting pot, because they still had the boarding schools for the Native American kids up until when? 70s? And
Well,
no,
this
we
the
weren't supposed
salad
to.
bowl started more when I was teaching. Growing
Oh, I
up as a
see.
student, I heard melting pot. But then as I became a teacher, you know, and I'm still in the middle of getting my master's. I'm not sure if I'm going to complete it, to be honest, but I do appreciate where education and the different pedagogies are headed because I do think it's becoming more inclusive of everyone, and that's where we need to be headed. So it
I
is
see,
nice to
yeah.
see that
I
change.
see great stuff in the homeschooling too. You know, I see people really taking charge of curriculum, and I started doing curriculum building, you know, back, I don't know. I mean, we've always as teachers had that word of curriculum building, but in Scotland, I was a homeschool teacher and built curriculum there. And then when I came back to the States in New Mexico, I rewrote the DARE curriculum, and you know, it was all about keeping the kids busy. Jimmy Carter showed that. You know, he pumped money into the
Well, you
schools.
were born on 420, so
Yes,
I'm
I was.
curious
Yes.
if you smoke weed because with
No.
that birthday.
As a teacher, you know, every year, oh, Miss Blacklock, you know, by the time I was up teaching the middle school, well, high school, really, oh, Miss Blacklock, Miss Blacklock. And I'm like, what? What? You know, no, you just claim ignorance. No. Because it's been illegal too long, and we're fingerprinted, and we're also in New York State court
Well,
ordered
it's legal. Isn't it
reporters.
legal in New York now?
I don't believe them.
Okay.
You know, they don't want their teachers coming in high. You know, what's
Oh, well,
up?
that, no,
You know,
that's
what's up?
different.
Yeah, dude. Oh, your homework? Who cares? That's okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Did you make that carrot cake I asked you to make last night? No.
Love carrot cake.
Yeah, I know. Where do you get it moist?
I think if it's legal, it's kind of like drinking. You know, teachers can have a glass of wine. I know why people are scared. It's been illegal for so long, but I do like seeing where it's headed because honoring a plant medicine should be up there with honoring pills. You know, doctors write those
Should
prescriptions
notice that
so
one word.
quickly.
Should.
We're getting there.
It's like
New
that word
Jersey, it's
if.
legal.
Did you know that if begins every feckin' calculus equation? That's what that great
Really?
big long squiggly is, that like big ol' F.
Oh,
If.
interesting. That's
If.
pretty beautiful because I stepped away from my spiritual school that I went through, but when I was in it, they did teach a lovely thing of interesting if true. And you were just taught to take everything as an if, in a sense. Because a lot of us think we know things and these are hard knowledge. But things can shift, and we're just humans. We're
And as a
trying to grasp.
researcher, you know, I use what my grandmother always said, don't believe all of what you hear and only half of what you see. So when you
Exactly.
teach research, you know, the kids come in and go, oh, this happened, and I'm like, maybe. Because
Exactly.
then you got to go look at the source. You got to go see who's the original source. What is their bias? What is their. So my kids, when I was teaching at the French American School in Larchmont, Mamaroneck, and doing the yearbook, Lit Mag, computer language arts, English, and 9/11 happened, and we could see the towers from where we were because it's right across the Long Island Sound, and we were in Mamaroneck, and the kids were like, why? And I said, well, let's go to the computers and follow the money because it's always about money. So let's follow the money. What's the money involved? Because automatically, they started talking about Afghanistan. So the first reports that come out are going to be your most reliable, and then they step on the reports and change them. So boom, as it was happening, as the towers were burning, those yearbook kids between the ages of 12 and 15 were all over the internet finding out what money was involved in Afghanistan. Why are they saying Afghanistan when they already, you know, knew that it was Egyptians on the plane? And it got into Unocal, the pipeline. Oh, who's that owned by? Bush's family. Oh, Unocal pipe. Oh. And a half hour after the towers got bombed or, you know, flown into, Unocal pops up on their website. Now we'll be able to finish the Caspian Sea pipeline. What? So you don't know what's happening. You know, I don't know that we're ever going to know all these things, but in terms of, going down the rabbit hole, and my kids use that to get themselves into Yale, Syracuse Newhouse School of Communications, Brown University, because they blew the lid off of it. And we scooped the story in March, and the Progressive magazine didn't cover it until June.
Wow.
They were 12 to 15-year-olds.
I believe
So
it.
the information's out there if people want to look at it, but I don't necessarily know that I have to be the harbinger of it all anymore, because I don't want to. All I'm doing is breathing life into their, dying puppet.
And I think what you said from the beginning about using your humor to not get physically hurt as a kid is the answer still. And you said it even in the middle of the podcast. All you can do, because things can be so heavy, is try to bring the light in, the laughter, and
Because the other side of it is a little scary, because I've already been Genghis Khan. That was the other name of the possible show. The afternoon I discovered I was Genghis Khan. Have you ever done past life regression?
yes, I have.
Ah, shit! I was like,
My Arcturians, my
really?
enlightened aliens came through, actually.
I was like, really? And then I was like, I can feel my legs squeezing because I've been riding horses since I was 12. I can feel my knees on the side of the horse. And, I've done so much landscaping. I know how to use the machete. And, I can feel my hand with the swing of the machete, just,
That's great.
cabbage heads and human heads, doesn't matter. You're either going to go by my rule or, submit to me or you're done. Well, that doesn't work anymore, does it? And
No.
Genghis Khan got himself a big old bad rap because, they want to paint him as being the barbarian. But in fact, he brought justice. In fact, he said, no, you got to stop slaughtering each other. He said, no, these are rules. This is called rules. And, you can either abide by this and organize yourselves, or I'll kill you all. Either come into the fold or start over.
I'm glad that's not how you are.
No. But it's so tempting, especially when you're so huge. Because, yes, the little man who wants to argue with me in the gas station, I could break him like a twig. And I'm not allowed. Not
Not with
allowed.
the current laws, but if we ever go to martial law, you would
Well, I've
definitely
taken the now going to parties dressed up as a queen because I found out through my research, family research, that I'm like the 14th great granddaughter of Alianor the Aquitaine, who wound up being Queen of France and Queen of England. So,
got
there's
some royal
probably,
blood.
yeah, but there's probably a lot of white girls that have royal blood because, she,
Spread her seed.
pro, yeah, she progenerated all of those boys and girls and everything. But, I'm like, no, we need to go back to reminding people that, before the Inquisition, most of Europe was ruled by women. And the Inquisition started because there was a German prince who wasn't going to inherit his daddy's throne because his sister was older and she was going to get it, and he didn't want that to happen. So he said, oh, she's a witch. Had her killed. He got the land and the throne. Boom, wildfire. Just like austerity measures here. Remember when austerity measures went through and they said, yeah, we got to fire all these women that are working because we don't have any money. Really? You shitheads. Inquisition.
We might
Everybody took that.
have a female president soon. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm hoping they can keep her alive.
Oh, me too. Me too. Well, Kim, we got to wrap it up, and I want to know, where can people find you on social media and your tour? Where can they get tickets, etc.?
Well, it's all building, because before the money comes in, you got to build an S corp for that money to come into,
True.
right? Because, we do have to be smart girls. I'm the dinosaur on social media after the whole 2016, and the Russians did that in that election, and then they did it again in 2020. I've just like, so I do have to get back on it.
Okay.
They could just Google Kim Blacklock, and they'll find me everywhere. And then sooner or later, there'll be a website, and I do have Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. I just haven't been on them because I'm kind of living life. I just came from New Mexico and was talking to Tusuke Casino and Sagebrush Inn, and
Nice.
so setting up the different venues.
That's
So,
amazing. Congratulations on that.
thank you. And let's do Apocalypse X. It's
I
like
know. I know. I still think about it because, you know, I was supposed to be apocalyptic in a sense, and I was going to let my inner murderer out through the show and the character. And that's always so exciting. Just like you brought out your Katori and you freaking slayed. Like,
yeah.
I would love to get to,
yeah.
I would love a scene where we're going against
each
other.
Well, you were like almost like a Harley Quinn kind of character or something. So
yes.
That was,
yeah.
You know.
I loved it. Like, yeah. How fun to get to play that kind of character.
I know. That's why I was like, can't we just keep filming this until somebody picks it up?
I know. Who knows? Maybe
make it like the Blair Witch Project and make people think that it's really happening in New Jersey. You
know, I know, right?
That's this is pretty really easy what's happening over in Jersey. Just in case you know, we forget about Jersey.
I really like Jersey.
It's been really wonderful.
Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you everyone so much for listening.